No, but I own all the utilities, so it's actually times 10.
Board Games on 95BFM. Our weekly chat with Waitemata local board head, Pippa Coombe.
Indeed, it is time for Board Games. It's not with Pippa Coombe this week. In the run-up to the local body elections in Tamaki Makaurau, we'll be talking to a whole heap of candidates and a whole heap of people that are out and about trying to get your vote. A couple of weeks ago, the CNR, so that's Communities and Residents now, formerly Citizens and Ratepayers, announced their team for Waitemata. That was on the 22nd of July. And so I was lucky enough to be joined by two of those team members last week. Those were Josh Doubtfire, who is a fourth generation Waitemata local and resident of Freeman's Bay. He went to the same high school as myself and graduated last year. He was part of the Board of Trustees and has been pushing local businesses forward and clean waterways as well, and is seeking to improve council's accountability to its communities and residents. I was also joined by Sarah Trotman, ONZM, who has been in Waitemata for nearly 30 years now, regarded as a business and community leader, set up the Big Sleep Out as well as a whole heap of other initiatives through LifeWise and other things. And she, of course, due to the ONZM kind of suffix, she received the Queen's Honour in 2017 for services to community and business. I asked them about their elections campaign and started by asking how they found themselves in the beast that is local body elections.
I was giving a speech some time ago and somebody came up afterwards and said, "Have you thought about politics?" And I said, interestingly enough, I get asked that a lot because I do quite a bit of public speaking in my various roles. But I was in a position actually to stop and reflect on what I could do for my community politically. And I had a look at national politics, I had a look at local body politics, and I really felt that the calibre of governors around that council table wasn't sufficient enough for the complex issues that Auckland faced. So I sort of pretty much looked around for the adult in the room and decided, actually, it's probably time I stepped up.
Well, I thought, you know, local body politics, I hadn't known about it before. Pretty much, I was annoyed with the council in many ways. Late buses, dirty waterways, and we're doing renovations on our house. The council has decided that we have to change the renovations because they don't like the design, which has doubled the construction cost, which I really think dives down to the housing issue in Auckland with the consent cost. And all these issues that face me, my family, my friends and neighbours and businesses in the Waitemata community really drove me to fight against the council. And that's, you know, I'm standing as one of the youngest people, and I think young people definitely do need a voice. We have 30%, around 30% in the Waitemata community who are under the age of 30, so we need some more younger faces on the board, definitely to represent this new youth wave.
And Josh has mentioned his age twice now, and I have to say, around, we meet as a team weekly to talk about issues that have come up as a result of our door knocking, having a look at the performance of the current Waitemata local board, that sort of thing. And Josh's strategic clarity around the number of issues that, in fact, all of the seven of us around the table, we've got a pretty strong understanding of the issues that are facing Waitemata.
You've mentioned these issues and you've said door knocking as well. What are the issues that you guys identify as existing for the Waitemata local board or area?
Yeah, so it's quite interesting. They fall into two camps, basically pan-Auckland issues, which are, of course, incredibly complex. Issues like transport, housing come up constantly. And then there's local issues that are actually quite unique to different suburbs within our area. So Parnell and Newmarket, deeply concerned at the moment at the lack of expenditure focused by the current local board on that area. I was looking actually at the performance report of Waitemata local board recently, and the majority of the spending has been spent in that Greylin Ponsonby area. So that's been a concern for people over that side.
Certainly. When you say lack of expenditure, what do you mean by that, just for the listeners?
Yeah, sure. So the local board has given, it's around about $30 million a year for maintaining parks, etc., and then about $12 million a year for capital expenditure. And so a lot of that expenditure, particularly the capital expenditure, has been invested in Greylin and Ponsonby. And I'm not saying that they weren't projects that were absolutely essential and the time was right for, but we just need to remember that we are all residents of the Waitemata and we can't focus just on whether it's cycleways and parks or...
Or what do you think Parnell and Newmarket needs in terms of expenditure?
Sometimes it's not just expenditure either, I might add. So we've met with the Parnell and the Newmarket Business Associations. What I'm noticing from local businesses, and of course they're large employers in the region as well, is that they're concerned at the lack of business acumen on the current local board. So they've got nobody that actually understands the challenges of running a small or local business. If you look, not so much a small example, of course, at Westfield, who's invested over, what, almost $1 billion now on the new sort of 277 building, businesses like that expect to see support from a local board. They are bringing an enormous number of residents and outsiders into Newmarket. They want to see an entire town that is attractive for their consumers.
And it's about supporting projects and managing them in a proper way, such as transport. So when the council does a new construction project to build a new road, to put in some new bus lanes, they need to manage it in a proper way that doesn't affect local businesses to a huge extent, so that they don't lose customers and so that they can keep on operating with their normal revenue streams.
I was doing a scroll through social media, as one does. I think that has been an issue, or at least you've noted that being an issue around the City Rail Link. How much of a role is the City Rail Link going to play in this upcoming election?
That's a really good question, because of course we've got the City Rail Link, which is about to hit the K Road district, and also the K Road enhancements, and they're actually operated by different legal entities. So of course you've got City Rail Link, which is the government and Auckland Council, and then the enhancements, which is very much Auckland Transport. So those large complex CCOs do present some challenges. They present wonderful opportunities for the city, as of course we grow in population, cars, commuters, use of public transport. One of the concerns that we've got is around the current governance of those CCOs. Two issues. The first is that you've got CCOs that are actually working in silos, in isolation, and then you've got, you know, the people elect the governors of the city, and then those governors are currently outsourcing 75% of the revenues that are generated by the ratepayers. And I think that's a real concern.
And I mean, the City Rail Link is a sort of a perfect representation of what we stand against in the council, their operations of how it's been going. So it's jumped from $2 billion to $3 billion to now $4.4 billion, which... And people look at it throughout the country and they say, oh, well, that's an Auckland issue. Well, 50% of it is worked by the Ministry of Transport and central government, so it is funded by taxpayers as well. And when you get a council, when you get the City Rail Link to increase the cost for Aucklanders and for New Zealanders, it is a real issue, and you start to question how it is getting that expensive. And of course, the opening of the City Rail Link is being expected in 2024, the Lower Albert Street part, and it was supposed to be next year. So we wonder what causes all the delays, what causes the increase in cost, and we want to hold them accountable to their actions, which I think is a wider Auckland issue with many council projects. Look at the Westland shops.
What do you see as fixes to these, kind of the siloing of and leadership and management?
One of the challenges that, of course, the mayor has in leading the council and the governing body is that they haven't sat down and gone, right, these are the people that I want to select for my team. They're actually delivered by the people, and rightly so, a complex mix of people with experience, political leanings. It's an incredibly complex leadership challenge to lead people that you haven't actually selected. So I think for me, everything comes back to very strong leadership within the council and actually making sure right from the get-go that there is clarity around the strategic issues, that those governors have got key stakeholders being I hate to use that word consulted, because a lot of CCOs will say, oh, well, we consulted with the local communities. They're consulting, but they're not listening. And people are getting pretty upset.
It certainly is. That leads nicely into a question I wanted to ask. So what, you've mentioned good leadership. What is the kind of best practice of a councillor in your case and a local board member in your eyes, and how do you kind of fulfill that role as candidates?
Well, it's especially listening to the community. So the local board is the lowest level of government that's closest to the people. So you can look at your MPs and you can say, oh, well, I can talk to them about my issues. But they get very busy. Local boards, you can. Local boards, the Waitemataa local board represents 113,000 people. And it's about listening to every single voice, every single piece of correspondence, and making sure you take that to the table. Even if you disagree with it, you take it to the table and you consider it, which has not been done by the local council as of currently. So it's of course, yeah, making sure you're listening to the issues and making sure you're aware of the issues. There's a good argument of just driving around the community and talking to people, talking to businesses. And there, with politics, you can, especially mid-election cycle, you can get into the problem of not taking consideration of people's problems and just doing the job and how you feel it. And I think there is a huge ideological struggle within the current local board where they tend to push a lot of issues. We look at the Western Springs Park issue and the waterways.
So that's a really nice overview from a local board perspective. From a councillor, from a ward perspective, of course, you can't look at every single piece of paper that comes across your desk or every single issue. And what I'm advocating for is strong leadership, leadership of governing members who have a courageous plan for the city, but a realistic plan, but a courageous plan, a real impatience around seeing that plan implemented, and an ability to bring a complex team of stakeholders and advisors together. And then the fourth thing around great leadership, I think, is about leaving your ego at the door. So having a strong sense of self, really looking outside of yourself and seeing the world where you can make a better place, or a city where you can make a better place. From a councillor perspective, of course, you've got that pan-Auckland view as well, which is quite different to the seven local board candidates' responsibilities. And so in my ward, for example, you've got very different issues for the 700, 800 people that live on Great Barrier Island versus the thousands of city dwellers in apartments.
That's not a ladder, that's an upside-down snake.
Board games on 95 BFM.